Christmas is, of course, one of the most celebrated holidays the worldwide. It's probably the most popular holiday in the entire world. Now, I've got five questions here which I'm going to attempt to answer. One, question one, was Jesus actually born on December the 25th? Probably not. Okay, let's pray, let's go home. No, stay here, please. Please. Question two, is Christmas mentioned in the Bible? No, but there's some fantastic things mentioned in the Bible, prophesied in the Bible, about the coming of the Saviour, Jesus Christ. Incredible prophecies which confirm to me that this has to be the inspired word of God, this Bible, because they came true. Some said and written hundreds of years before. In actual fact, there are something like 365 prophecies in the Bible referring to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not all different. Some of them are repeated, said a slightly different way. But there are 360 plus words, prophecies, saying that there would be a babe born, a special babe, one who was God himself. I think that's amazing. The first one, actually, is found in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis. And we read this in Genesis chapter 3. God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, 740 years before Jesus came as a babe, this was what the prophet Isaiah said would happen. Okay, the book of Isaiah, he was a prophet. So this is what he said. He said that the Saviour would be born from a virgin. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And in the reading that Vera read from Matthew's Gospel, it says exactly that. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. This Bible has to be true, and I hope we can believe it. About a similar period, 750 years again, before Jesus actually was born in Bethlehem, this is what the prophet Micah says, again from the Bible. He's saying that the Saviour had to be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem Pethra, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Incredible. Little town of Bethlehem. And yet it was prophesied. God said, hey, this is going to be me coming in the form of a babe. And I'm going to be born of a virgin. I'm going to be born in Bethlehem. This has to be the word of God. We better believe it. There are many references in the Bible to the virgin birth of Christ. In the New Testament, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 4, it says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So the third question is, why was Jesus Christ born of a virgin? Our Lord was born to die that we might be born again and live. Jesus was born to die that we might be born again of the Holy Spirit and live forever, to have eternal life. Jesus came to life through a virgin's womb. And in his death, he left this life in an empty tomb. Why? Because of God's great love for us. Because of God's great love for this world. That is why it says in John's Gospel and chapter 3, for God so loved the world. He loved the men, the women, boys and girls that have been created by him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Question 4. So why did Jesus come in the first place? Why did Jesus come? Why did this Son of God, the one who the Bible says was with God in the beginning, the Word was with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, and yet he came in the form of man. Why did Jesus come in the first place? Simply, that we needed a Saviour. That we all need a Saviour. Our greatest need was God's greatest deed. Our greatest need was God's greatest deed. Somebody much, much more cleverer than me wrote this. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Saviour. And I'm thankful for that. Fifth question, the last question. Why are we having this service today? Well, I think it's a reminder that God has given us his greatest gift of all. He's given the greatest gift of all. This gift may not be under a tree, but it was, if you like, because of a tree. This tree wasn't cut down to hang lights on, however attractive and lovely those trees may be. But this tree was cut down and made into a cross for Jesus to hang on. In the New Testament, we read this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And in another place in the New Testament, it says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God. That's why it says in another passage that God is not willing that any should perish, but that they should believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's love. It says in the Bible, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Again, we've got this word. It is the gift of God. What an amazing gift. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. I know that I would never, ever, ever have been good enough to be accepted by God. I know that. The Holy Spirit showed it to me, that I would never, ever be righteous, good enough, that I deserve condemnation. That's why he sent for me a Saviour, to take my sin, my punishment, my bad things, and put them on Jesus. And that is the same for you. Someone has cleverly quipped this. What would Jesus buy for Christmas? The answer is, you and me. You and me. At Christmas time, We sometimes receive presents that we don't really need. But God is offering us a present that we cannot do without. Yours and my gift of eternal life has been bought for and paid by the precious blood, the priceless blood of Jesus Christ. The problem is that for many, and perhaps for most still, this gift, whereas it has been given, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has been received. The main reason that people don't receive this gift is because they don't really believe that they need this gift. After all, Santa Claus is coming, and after checking his list twice, he finds that I've not been too naughty. I'm okay, I've been all right, I've been nice. So here, leave me a present. But the truth of the matter is, we're not that nice. Not within. Indeed, the Bible says, there is no one righteous, no one good enough. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. The Bible says this, and we need to take the Bible at its word. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Didn't say just Jimmy calls on the name of the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus came the first time, and we're so pleased of that, that he has reconciled a holy God with sinful man by coming as a babe, coming as a saviour. We also need to be ready for when he's coming back again the second time. Thank you for listening.